The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Yes, it is Bob Burney Live. It is the 5 o'clock hour, and it's about 6 minutes and 25, 26, 27, 6 minutes and 30 seconds after the top of the hour. What a delight to welcome you to the program. Thank you for joining me. I do not take lightly the fact you have dozens and dozens of choices of who you listen to, whether you're listening to talk or music or whatever. And I do not take for granted the fact that you have chosen to spend some time with us this afternoon. And I thank you, and I appreciate it very, very much. And I will do my best to give you some solid information during this hour. And I'm also going to take some phone calls, because coming up, we have Mark in Columbus. Mark, welcome. You're on Bob Burney Live. How are you today? Hello, Mark. Wake up.
Are you done yet?
Wake up. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Oh, I'm great. The weather's beautiful out here. I'm just sitting out and enjoying the sun and having a good time.
Yeah, I'm sitting in here. Okay. All right.
At least I'm warm
and toasty.
Are you? Oh, I just wondered. That reminds me. Do I have to be as old as you to sleep on the old Giza sheets?
No. And I think you'll enjoy them. I mean, they're really they are really, really great. But I tell you, the product, the towels from MyPillow are absolutely incredible. They are wonderfully luxurious. I mean, they really are.
Oh,
very, very reasonable.
Now you're making me jealous.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what happens.
Turn around, fair play.
So the Bible says thou shalt not covet, and the way around that is to buy your own, so you won't covet mine.
Oh, there you go.
Thanks,
Bob. I knew there was a solution.
All right, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to, you struck a chord with me about the Hollywood conspiracy, and, you know, there's conspiracy theories, and then there are conspiracies. And, this is truly evil from the pits. I mean, it's just amazing to me how people, like you said, there are a lot of Christians that will watch this and not hardly bat an eye. I mean, maybe they feel a little uncomfortable, but that doesn't stop them from going to see it, from laying down a bunch of money to watch it in the theater.
Mark, let me let you in on a little secret, and I think I can say this. I just got back from Indonesia, and I was traveling with Christians. I was traveling with fellow talk show hosts from Christian stations around the country and other Christians. And, you know, when you're spending a lot of hours with other people, you talk about all kinds of things. And this group started talking about movies. And, Mark, I was blown away by some of the movies that my fellow Christians were saying, oh, that was a great movie. Wasn't that an R-rated movie filled with sex, violence, and profane language? Yeah, but the storyline was really great. And I was just sitting there going, are you serious? Are you serious? Oh, Mark, I just...
It just grieves your spirit, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It hurt my heart. And I'm not a prude. I'm not a prude, and I enjoy a good movie, but I will not subject myself to things that I have convictions against. You and I, Mark, who feel the way we do about entertainment and so forth, we're becoming a smaller and smaller and smaller minority. And I guess one of my pet peeves is the fact that Christians pay for this stuff. They pay for it.
Right.
You know, is that what you want your children to see? Well, no. Is that the way you want your children to talk? Well, no. Then why do you put money down and allow that garbage, that filth, to just wash over your mind and your spirit? Why do you do that? I don't get it, Mark. I just don't. I guess I am just an old fuddy-duddy prude, I guess.
Sleeping in your old Giza sheet.
They're not geezer sheets.
Oh.
They're Giza sheets. They're not geezer.
Thanks for clearing that up for me, Bob.
Oh, my goodness. Geezer sheets. Hey, I just now got that. I missed it. Went right over my head.
Okay.
Geezer sheets.
My wife, she loves my sense of humor all the time. You know, she looks forward to the next time I tell a silly
Mark,
joke.
You are a fortunate man to have a woman that could appreciate that kind of humor. You are a blessed man.
It's more like puts up with.
Well, I got the same kind of wife. She puts up with my humor, you know. When we go into a restaurant, I'll mess with the servers, you know, and I say the same things over and over again, and my wife laughs. And I know that in her heart she's going, oh, why did I marry this man? What did I get myself into?
Again.
Yeah, here we go again. But she's sweet and always laughs again.
Right. Well, we're made for each other, you know.
The other day we went to the pharmacy, and we always go to the drive-thru at the pharmacy. We went to the pharmacy the other day, and I pulled one of the things I do all the time. Pull up to the window, press the little button, and the lady comes and says, yes, may I help you? And I say, yeah, I'll take three burritos, two tacos, a little extra sauce on the taco, and I'm expecting a little bit of laughter. The woman, Mark, the woman glares at me.
Oh, no.
Glares at me, doesn't say a word, just glares at me, and I go, okay, well, I'm here to pick up the prescriptions. Gave her my name. And I thought, oh, boy, she had no sense of humor at all.
Nope.
And, of course,
Joy is
trying to crawl under the seat so this lady can't see, you know, who's with me. But
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, Mark, we have established that we are both blessed with wonderful wives.
Absolutely. Yep. And wonderful senses of humor.
Just, yes.
You know.
Yes.
Sophisticated.
Yes. All right. I'm gonna go take a nap on my geezer sheets. I don't know how I missed that.
See,
went
you,
right over my head. All right. Took me a little while, but I got it, Mark.
I'm glad.
All right.
You won't be able to forget it now.
Unfortunately, no.
Right. I've ruined it.
You've ruined it. And now the bad thing is, when I read those spots from now on, I am going to slip.
Man.
I'm going to slip, and I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to get fired, and I'm going to come and live at your house because you're the one that lost my job.
It's Mark Kibbe's fault. Yeah. It's Mark's fault.
All right, Mark. Have a great evening.
You too.
All right. Bye. God bless you. Bye-bye. Geezer sheets. Oh. Well, with that, We're going to take a break. You're listening to Bob Birdie Live. Stay tuned. We will be back in mere moments.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Birdie Live.
How many times have you heard me say, the liberal left destroys, kills, devastates everything it touches? I got more proof. Yeah, I got more proof. Listen to this headline. Episcopal Church will cease to have Sunday worship attendance in 30 years, according to seminary president. And by the way, the seminary president here is not some seminary president of a far-right, conservative, fundamentalist seminary that is condemned. No, this is the president of a far-left theological seminary, just acknowledging reality. Here's the story. Listen to this. A seminary president has warned the Episcopal Church's leadership that with the current rate of decline, they will cease to have any Sunday worship attendance in just 30 years. Christine Tash, president of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America affiliated Wartburg Theological Seminary, again, this is a liberal left seminary, gave a presentation Friday before the denomination's executive council. Stash drew from the most recent parochial report data, which found that, you ready for this? From 2008 to 2018, the denomination experienced a 24.9% decline in average Sunday attendance, rounded up to 25%. In 10 years, 2008 to 2018, they lost 25% of their Sunday morning attendance. Quote, listen to the quote, it depicts a church that appears to be dying. What have you and I been saying now for years? They're either dying or they're dead. An executive from the Episcopal Church said these statistics are, quote, very sobering. At the current rate of decline, according to Stash, the denomination will have no Sunday attendance whatsoever in 30 years and no baptized members in 47 years. In other words, they will completely cease to exist, not by executive order, but purely by attrition. In 47 years, there will be no American Episcopalians left. In 47 years. Listen to this. Despite the somber report on statistics, Stash also said that the decline might be less showing of a dying church and more one that is becoming something we have yet to imagine. Here's the saddest thing about this whole story. They're dying. All of the measurable statistics indicate that the Episcopal Church, like all of the other mainline, left-leaning Protestant churches in America, they are dying. But in spite of the facts, they won't admit it. It's much less, quote, less showing a dying church and more one that is becoming something we have yet to imagine. It's not dying. We just haven't come up with the right strategy. Quote, this kind of thinking looks nothing like we've ever done before. Let me read this quote. Listen to this carefully. This kind of thinking looks nothing like we've ever done before. We don't have the current knowledge or solutions to address this problem. What? Are you kidding me? We don't have current knowledge or solutions to address the problem. Maybe repentance, maybe revival, maybe praying, maybe getting back to the fundamentals, maybe getting back to the Bible. It gets worse. She goes on, quote, "In fact, we can't even define the problem." But that's the point. Living in this space is about a mental shift to a focus on questions instead of answers. You idiots! That's why you are where you are, because you don't know the answers anymore. All you know is to question. This is the liberal mindset, both theologically and politically and cultural. This is the far left mindset. We don't have answers. And it's not important that we have answers. The only thing important is that we know what questions to ask. Let me read this quote again. That's the point. Living in this space is about a mental shift to a focus on questions instead of answers. They have answers. The answers are in God's word. God's plan for the church. Oh, my goodness. The 2018 total was less than half of the peak membership numbers for the denomination in 1966. So, in other words, from 1966 to 2018, they have lost more than half of their congregation. In the last 10 years, they've lost a full one quarter. Now, they just said in this article, this expert, this seminary president says, we don't even know what the problem is. We don't know why people are leaving. We don't get it. Listen to this. For example, let me back up. Quote, "One factor in the decline has been in the increasingly progressive theological direction of the mainline denomination, especially regarding LGBTQ issues. For example, the 2003 consecration of the Reverend Gene Robinson as the first openly gay bishop in the denomination's history prompted many conservative congregations to leave in protest." So on one hand, they're saying, we don't know what the problem is. And on the other hand, they go, well, you know, we consecrated some homosexual bishops and that, yeah, a lot of people left. Archbishop Linda Nichols said in a statement that this report was a, quote, "wake-up call for the denomination." Really? If it's a wake-up call, do you think they will call people back to Scripture? Pray that God will bring a revival, that there will be repentance? Not a chance. Not a chance. The liberal left destroys everything it touches. Here is another proof. We'll be back.